given today, Lord, to the offering for the orphanage, the work that we do there in Mexico. But Lord, we also celebrate the fact that many of our people are in Mexico, even are beginning to cross over in just a few minutes, Lord. So be with them as they cross over. Keep them safe in all of their ways, all the highways they travel down, that long road, Lord, that leads to the orphanage there in Camargo. Keep them safe. And Lord, let it be one of the most joyous days ever for the children there. Bless them, oh God, and let their hearts overflow with joy. And Lord, all the new socks, the new clothing, all the blankets, everything that they're going to be receiving, Lord, what a great blessing. Bless those who have given to that. And Lord, we just celebrate not only their return home in safety, but Lord, we celebrate because of Barbara Hunt. Lord, the surgery was just perfect. We're so thankful that she is okay. And Lord, she's going to be back with us before we know it. So Lord, today, just a simple message, simple Christmas sermon, oh God. Help me. Let me say only the things you'd have me to say. We love you. We praise you. We give thanks for our Lord and Savior as we celebrate him today. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to a well-known Christmas story there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to cover just a few verses, probably 12 or more, and this morning, I want to talk to you about the miracle of the star. Just a little short, brief message. And what I would like for you to do as you turn to Matthew chapter 2 is, if it is at all possible for all of us to kind of turn off the 21st century Christmas. Is that okay? In other words, let's set aside just for a moment all the decorations and the tinsel and, you know, Macy's and Dillard's, you know what I'm talking about, and the Christmas rush and all of that, okay? Let's set all of that aside because that wasn't happening in Matthew's Gospel chapter 2. Amen? Are y'all with me? Don't treat me like the first service. They were brutal. There was no joy to the world with them, okay? Yeah, that's right. I had to go back and redo my whole sermon because of that. But you treat me the right way. You always do. God bless you. Listen, I read a story about the Christmas rush the other day. It was about a mother who was trying to do all of her last-minute Christmas shopping, like maybe some of you are going to do, but she was doing it on Christmas Eve. Now, that's what I call a rush. And so she had her little 3-year-old boy with her, and as they traveled through the department stores and so forth, for some reason, she lost track of her little 3-year-old. And man, she was going crazy, as any mother would, retracing her steps and so forth, trying to find her little 3-year-old boy. After a long, lengthy search, she finally looked, and there he was. His face was pressed against a huge store window, and he was looking in at the nativity scene. The mom shows up, comes right up next to him, and he looks at her and said, "Oh, Mom," said, "look, there is little baby Jesus, and there he is in the hay, in the manger." And all of a sudden, the stressed-out mother grabs that kid, jerks him up, and says, listen, there's no time for that. He says, "Mommy is trying to get Christmas ready." Boy, isn't that no laughter there. But isn't that such a true word? You know, we don't have time. We're in such a rush, and that's not the right kind of Christmas. Amen? No, the miracle of the star, unexplainable this morning. You know, the world, you know, they've made Christmas, they've made our Christmas, if you will, a holiday. Nothing, you know, I don't have anything against a holiday, but, I'm not into elves and reindeer. Is that okay? And ho, ho, ho just doesn't cut it for me. I'm sorry. And, you know, but what that does do, it hides the true meaning of Christmas from the world that's suffering, the world that's hurting. The world that's going to wake up empty on December 26th and say, "Is that all that there is?" Amen? I mean, okay, here it is. What did I do for Christmas? Well, I gained 10 pounds and I went into debt. Never mind. You have the joy of the Lord. I can see it this morning. Were you stressed out for Christmas? Don't be stressed out. Listen, we know what Christmas really means. The birth of Christ, praise God, is not only a supernatural event in the history of the world, it's the greatest event in the history of mankind. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Now, verse chapter 2, let's look at the miracle of the star here. Verse 1. And now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, 700 years earlier from this time when the Lord was born now, there was a prophet. His name was Micah. And he had the honor, as God moved upon him, to name the very place that Jesus was going to be born. There in Bethlehem, the Bethlehem meaning the house of bread, Jesus, the bread of life, being born right there. That's Micah 5:2. And I say, oh Lord, you're so good. But he was born in a time that it was very dark. You know, you think about Herod. He was born in the times of Herod the king. He was a very wicked man. I mean, he was a monster. That's just the truth. I don't usually call people a monster, but he was barbaric. You know, Herod, the king of the Jews, if you will, he wasn't even a Jew. He was a descendant of Esau. He was an Edomite, if you will. He had absolutely no claim to the throne of Israel because of that. But not only that, he was set there by the Romans. Now, if you want a good picture of Herod, he's a little over 4 feet tall. Hello. In other words, he could be Santa's elves. Amen? Put him to work right immediately. You know? And I mean, he was just a short fellow. There's nothing wrong with being short, okay? And so if you're short, don't come to me. You just insulted me. This is the age of tolerance. This is Christmas. No, shorty, I'm just joking with you. No. Now, no, listen. He was a little over 4 feet tall, and listen, he had been married at least 10 times, and most of his wives he killed. He killed his son-in-laws. I think he even killed his mother. We know that he killed his sons. He was a bloodthirsty man. Why did he do all that? He was so jealous of his throne that he would remove anyone. He was a strange individual, a brilliant man, a great builder. He knew Antony and Cleopatra, for example. He was friends with Augustus Caesar. You know what Augustus Caesar said about him? He said this, it's safer to be Herod's sow than it is to be Herod's son. That's how dangerous this person was. And then look at the next group of people on our Christmas sermon today. It says that wise men came from where? They came from the east, meaning they came from Persia. They came from Arabia and so forth. And they were masters. They were brilliant people. Yes, they were into or understood the occult. But when it came to the sciences, the math and so forth, and astronomy, boy, they were incredible, brilliant people. And did you notice there when it says that in verse 1, did you catch that? That it says, and three wise men came riding on their camels. Did you catch that? You didn't see that? And they were all singing. Yeah, they were singing, we three kings of... Isn't that right? Yeah, and one of them, you know, it's like the three kings says to the other king, you're off key, man. Get on key here. Did you read that or that? Well, that's what I didn't think it was there. I just want to check out and see if you know, star of wonder, star. Never mind. No, you know why people think that and why many in the church believe that is because they're taught from the Christmas cards. It's true. Look at the ones you're sending out. You're sending out false doctrine. That's exactly what you're doing. Let's take a quick test, okay, on this Christmas sermon. So we want to have the joy of the Lord. True or false? The wise men were really three kings. Oh, this is the godly side. I don't know about you guys, okay? Okay, false, that's right. Here, let me give you another one. Their names were Malchar and Belshazzar and Casper the Friendly Ghost, huh? False. Now, here's the one that you're going to have to really think about. The wise men visited Jesus in the manger. You are such a well-taught church. You should be thankful for your pastor. I'm teasing. Now look here, look at verse 1. I'm joking. Look at verse 1. It says after. Look at it. After. Now after Jesus was born. This means, if we're going to understand it correctly, this means that way back in Luke chapter 2, remember, verse 8, 9, 10, 11, remember when the angels were there showing that the shepherds were in the field, they were taking care of the sheep by the flock by the night and so forth, and the angels showed up, you know, and said, oh, we bring you tidings of great joy to all people. You know, there's a Savior that's born in Bethlehem, a Savior, a rescuer. Well, that happened while the wise men were traveling from Arabia, Persia, all that distance away. While they were on the way, those things occurred. They were following the miracle of the star. Now, look at verse 11. It says, does it say young child? Verse 11, it's right there in Matthew. You got to, don't turn, where are you turning your pages for? You should already be there, right? No, verse 11, young child. That means that months had passed. Now, we don't know how many months. It could have been 3 months. It could have been 1 year. We're just not told. But it says when they came into the wise men, when they came into the what? It didn't say the palace. It doesn't say the manger. It doesn't say the stable. But if you look at Christmas cards today, I mean, I saw, you know how these electronic billboards are on the freeway? I looked out there and I told Becky when we were driving in, I said, there's false doctrine right there. I said, there they are, the wise men. They're standing over the stable and there's little lambs and all that stuff around, you know. Well, that's not true. And look what we're doing. Go to the main lobby. Look at the manger there. Are there three wise men there? Yeah, and are they dressed as kings? Huh? I mean, let's get rid of those guys. You know what I'm saying? No, that's just not godly at all. Now, listen. So some of you are going, Bill, it's so wonderful to be here this morning. I should have gone to another church because, you know, you're trying to destroy my Christmas. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to tell me that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th or something. Now, with all the fun aside, the emphasis in our text with these unknown men, these nameless men, these wise men that we know nothing about, absolutely nothing, except they were called wise men. They were magi. We get our word magic from that. Here they are traveling. The star is guiding them. And you know, the main text here is not about who they are, what they wore, but it's about what they did. What they did. They worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, and they gave unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now look at verse 2. Here they come. They're coming into Jerusalem. It's been a long journey, man. It could have been over 1,000 miles or about 1,000 miles. And that word saying is very important because evidently, see, the star now has led them to this location. And the word saying there, if you look it up in the Greek, you know, and so forth, it means they continue to say. They're asking all over Jerusalem, you know, and what are they asking? They're asking, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. 26 words. They said, where is he? Where is the one who has the legitimate claim to the throne of Israel? Where is he? We followed, did you notice it says his star? Wouldn't you give anything to have seen that? No, loved one, listen to me now. That's real. That's not a fairy tale. That really happened. And, you know, remember, that's a prophecy. There's four prophecies that have been in Matthew chapter 2. You can do it for homework later. But there are four prophecies in Matthew chapter 2 that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The first one, of course, Micah 5:2, he was born in Bethlehem. And here, the second prophecy would be about the star. Remember Balaam, all those 1,500 years ago from the date of the writing or from the date there of Christ there with his family. 1,500 years earlier, there was remember Balaam? Remember the donkey, you know, and all that? Remember, okay. Back all the way, he prophesied. In Numbers, let me read it to you. In Numbers 24:17, and he said this. He said, a star shall come out of Jacob, meaning that's the nation of Israel. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Do you know, no one on earth at that time, when he prophesied that, no one on earth knew except God that 1,500 years later, here we are reading that in this verse, that wise men were going to be coming out of that very area and they would be seeking the King of Israel. Think about that for a moment. Now, and what did they come to do? What did they say? We've come to do something. We've come to worship. The word proskunos. We've come, it means to kiss. We've come to kiss the King. We've come to love him. We've come to bow down before him. We've come to fall upon our face before him. That's what they said. And the reason, they said, we have seen his star. We've been studying it all out. We know something is up. We know that a king, the Savior, he is going to be born. Listen, guys, these people are Gentiles. They're out of the covenant of God. They're from another land where another king is ruling. And yet, whoever they are, however they're dressed, and listen, Let me just say something. The reason that people think that there was only three is because there were three gifts. No, those guys, they had a whole group of people with them. And another thing is they didn't ride camels. I'm sorry. I just want to get you straight here because, you know, next Christmas you'll be okay. You know, they rode the Arabian steeds. That's what they would be riding and so forth. And it was a whole bunch of them. Now listen, here they come, and their only desire, their only passion is to find Jesus. Is there anything greater than that? The only thing they wanted to do, grown men, they wanted to fall down on their face. And they wanted to pay homage. They wanted to worship. Think of that for a moment. What do you want to do this Christmas? I know we celebrate it every year, but, you know, worship to us should be every day. Amen? You know, I say this every year. Do we want Christmas presents? In other words, what's under the tree? Or do we want Christ's presence? I want his presence. Amen? I want him to manifest himself and be real to me. Look at verse 3 now. And when Herod the king, he heard this, boy, he was what? He was terrified. Man, his whole world, he was falling apart, okay? He probably fell off the throne. And that word means he was in turmoil and terrified, and all Jerusalem with him. But when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired, or literally he demanded of them where the Christ, meaning the Messiah, was to be born. So they said to him instantly, they knew the scripture, they knew exactly where the Messiah was to be born. They're going to quote Micah 5:2 now. He says, and they said, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Now, they were 5 miles, the wise men, the scribes, the chief priest, and Herod, they were 5 miles from the prophecy there of Micah 5:2, Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. 5 miles away. And I say, Lord, they had the scriptures. They had the word of God. They knew the word of God, but they didn't go to Bethlehem to search for the Lord. Why do you think that is? I mean, what caused that? The people that who are under the covenant of God, who had the word of God, the people who were supposed to be teaching God's people. I mean, if all of a sudden people from another nation came to my door and they started saying, hey, listen, you know, we want to know where the king is born and so forth. I would go, well, I'd like to find out myself. I'd say, can I tag along? I like those horses and I see that treasure chest that you're carrying. You know, I could go along with you. Now, listen, the reason they didn't do it is because they weren't interested. To me, that is heartbreaking. And I think that is a Christmas word to the Church of America in the 21st century. Bill, don't get off on that. This is Christmas. Loved one, are we interested? Are we really interested in the things of God? Are we interested in finding Jesus every day of our life? We know where he is. He's at the throne of grace. Amen? And we can go there. We can find him, and we can also find grace. We can find mercy. We can find help when in time of need. We know what to do. Did we go there this morning? If you had a prayer time this morning, that tells you that you're interested in seeking him. If you didn't have a prayer time this morning, well, I love you. Now, I'm not beating you up. I'm not. No, listen, I know people take off on Sunday, right? What would happen if heaven closed on Sunday? Sorry. No prayers today. Catch you on Monday, okay? We're taking a break. That's a day of rest, you know. No. Listen. No, these men, listen, they were seeking, they were searching, they believed in the supernatural. Listen, what would you do if you called up your relatives or your friends and said, I'm leaving? And they're going, why are you leaving? I'm following a star in the sky. That might work at church across the street. No, I'm just joking. No, think about that for a minute. I'm following the church, not the church, I'm sorry. I'm following a star. I mean, if I called some of my old friends, you know, knew me before I was saved, they'd go, you're out of your mind, man. What do you, you need to come on and have a drink. You need to settle down. No, listen, these guys, they were serious. They wouldn't rest. And they, think about it. They came to the city of God. They came to the people of God, the priest of God. And you know what they found? They found absolutely nothing from them. The scribes knew where to look, but they were too unconcerned to even investigate it, to even go and try to see for themselves. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, literally the age of the star's appearance, okay? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, now go and search carefully, search precisely for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Is that a big lie? Isn't it amazing how what God, the things God, how he does things? He recorded this, Herod's life for us, for every generation to see that. See, all that Herod heard was, there's a ruler, a shepherd of my people. What's going on here? Where is he who is the king? That's all that he was so jealous of his throne. So the wise men, boy, they were wise. They left an old foolish Herod and the rest of them, they stayed behind. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, look at it now, the star, the miracle of the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, look what they did. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. In other words, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy, if you will. Isn't it amazing, the miracle of the star? Think about this. This happened. And pagans, those outside, again, the covenant of God, Gentiles, they were more hungry for God than God's own people. I pray that would never be said for the 21st century church. Amen. Boy, do we need to be hungry for the things of God. We miss out. Can you imagine missing the star? Can you imagine being so lazy and so apathetic that you stayed back in Jerusalem with Shorty? You understand what I'm saying? And going, hey, listen, you know, yeah, we know where he's going to be born, but we're not, you know, worried about it. We don't believe anything. What an apathetic people. No, we need to be an expectant people. You don't know what God's going to do tonight. You don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. And you don't know if we're going to make it into 2016 or not. We may be gone. Amen? Oh, this side is, you're godly, but I'm worried. You know, no, listen. The Lord, he may tell, it's time to come home. Boom, we're gone. The church is absent from the earth. Could happen at any moment, loved one. No, here, this star, look at this now. It went before them. Can you see it? And then it stopped. Then the star stood right over the Lord Jesus Christ. How in the world did that happen? I don't have a clue. You know, I read an old commentary, and I'm not saying that this commentary is correct or anything, okay? I'm just telling you, I read an old commentary, and the writer of that commentary said that the star there in Jerusalem or Bethlehem stayed, in other words, people still saw it after 125 years. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but that is amazing, an amazing thought. When I think about the star, the miracle of the star, I get excited. You see, because today, you know, do you expect God to work miracles in your life? I'm not telling you to schedule miracles. No one should schedule a miracle. We don't do that, but we believe in miracles, amen? But, you know, do you believe that God is going to do something on your behalf? If God would take the people from another land, the Persians or the Arabians, whatever they were, people who studied the occult, enchantments, math and science, astrology, the stars, all the rest of it, but yet their heart was searching for the Savior. I'll tell you something, if you're seeking God, if you're truly seeking the Lord, do you think God's going to say, oh man, you're wearing me out. No. Listen, he's going to show you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. I believe with all of my heart that if your heart is filled with just simple faith, you know, faith, think about faith for a moment. You know, if I had a glass of water here and you could see that water and I took one drop out of the water, would that still be water? Okay, well, faith is faith, loved one. God has given each of us a measure of faith. We have faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Listen, I believe that if God, since he could do all those things, that when we have a need, when we say, Lord, I don't know another way, I don't know any direction to go, I'll tell you, if you're honestly seeking the Lord, I believe that he'll put a star in the sky for you. Like in the times of Joshua, whenever they were getting ready to cross over into the promised land, and what did God do? He backed up the Jordan, how far? All the way back to the city of Adam. That was 20 miles. Why did God do that? They were leaving the wilderness. They were leaving behind the manna. They were leaving behind all of the pillar of cloud by day and by night. It all ended, amen, when they crossed over. It was a whole new day. And why did God do that? He said, I'm going to give you a visual. I want your faith to be increased because you're getting ready to step into the promised land. I believe that God will do anything to increase our faith when you're honestly seeking him and going after him. Amen. I believe in miracles. I need a miracle. I've prayed all year for a miracle. I have 11 days left for a miracle. And I believe with all of my heart that it's going to appear just like the star appeared in the sky for those wise men. When I take my early morning walk, I'll tell you, that's one of my greatest times. I like it when it's dark out there, and I go on my walk and I'm praying, and yeah, I can be a kind of Pentecostal. No, you know what? I'm joking. We are all Pentecostals. Amen. No, you understand? And it's dark, and everybody's still sleeping, and so forth. And I see those stars, and I was corrected because somebody sent me an email. Bill, those are not stars you're seeing. Those are planets. That's Jupiter and Mars. And I'm going, okay. I still, doesn't matter the stars to me. And I watch them and look at them and I talk to the Lord. I said, oh, you made that one. You made that one. You named that one. You placed it. You know their name. You know everything. You can do anything. There's nothing too hard for you. And some of you, you know, you're sad. It's Christmas. You have, you know, that Elvis Presley, you're putting on old blue something. What's it called? Blue Christmas. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're just, no. And don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Don't put that on. You're not going to have a blue Christmas. You have Jesus Christ. Amen. You can look to him. What do you need? You're saying, Bill, I'm in a tight. I'm telling you, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. I'm telling you, he will show you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will manifest himself to you. I believe that with all my heart, and I'm holding on to that. I would rather in 11 days, I would rather say, well, your will was done, and I love you. But I would hate to wait 11 days without being in faith, without believing with all my heart that nothing is impossible to him. Amen. What do you need? What do you really need? I'm telling you that your Father in heaven, he loves you. He will help you. The one who was born in the manger, the one there was no room for, he will make room for you because he loves you. He came for you. That's what Christmas is all about. He came to rescue us. Amen. Oh, and I look and I say, oh, he is the day spring upon high. He gives light to those who sit in darkness. And I say, oh, God, you're so good. But don't let me come to an area where I'm like they did, a city full of dead faith and a people filled with dead faith. No. The wise men, they only had the message of the star. Think about that. That's all they had. And I go, oh, God, look, they traveled 1,000 miles. What kind of faith is that? Now, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped Jesus. They worshiped him. And when they had, I love this now, when they had opened their treasures, let's stop right there. How long do you think they worshiped the Lord? See, you know, we read it and we go, okay, I worship you and I'm finished. I see it like a movie. I mean, if I was Mary, I'd be going, okay, wait a minute. I see a bunch of people outside the door of my house. Here they are. They're coming into my house. I've never seen people like this maybe in my life. Here is my little baby that I'm holding in my arms, perhaps. I don't know. And they're Gentiles. They're Persians. They're Arabians. They have a treasure chest with them. And they fall in. They come in and they fall on their faces. And listen, now don't miss this. What is right above the house? The star. And maybe Mary's going, what in the world is going on? See, we miss all of that. And we see, and all of a sudden, there's a, maybe it's the Shekinah glory of God. I don't know. And it's all, everything is bright and shiny. And there they walk in, and Mary's looking at them, and they just fall down. And they start worshiping the Lord. Man, I say, oh God, that is incredible. And look what they did after their worship session. They opened their treasures, and they presented gifts to him. Listen. Let's say Jesus was a year old. You know, I mean, do you have an image of here they walk into the house and Mary's sitting in the chair and Jesus is sitting in her lap and there's a halo around him and he's just, you know, do you understand? I mean, what does 1 year old children, what do? They crawl around and they go, oh, look at these people that's walking here, and they look over to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's the God man. He's 100% God, 100% man. He's looking. I don't know what he's doing. But we paint this picture that's not true. I think that Jesus was just probably on the floor, you know, Googling and whatever children do. And they walk in and he's like, what is it? And they're worshiping it. And then they open up their treasures. Their treasures. These men. And they gave him what? It says they presented gifts to him. Gold. That's his deity. Frankincense. That speaks of his humanity. And then look at the other. The myrrh. We know that myrrh is used for embalming, so it speaks of his sacrifice, him going to the cross, his death. And then being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod, and they departed to their own country another way. God intervening again. Listen, they gave their worship, and they gave of their treasure. Boy, I think about that, and I think, Lord, what in the world have I given you? What do we really give the Lord? I mean, you know, would you say we're kind of a stingy people? Let me go and ask this side. I'm not having any luck with those people. Would you say we're kind of a stingy people? Yeah, I mean, it's like God says, okay, here's the deal. He goes, Mark, I'm going to give you 10 pieces of candy. Okay, here you go. May I have one of them back? No. Well, I just gave you 10 pieces. I just want one. Come on. Are you going to talk about money? No, I'm talking about candy. Christmas candy. No, listen, I look and I say, oh, Lord. I look and I say, gosh, there they were, the religious people, the scribes. They were so indifferent. Look at Herod. Herod is a maniac. When you get to verse 16, we're not going to cover it, but if we did cover it, what did he do? When he realized that he was deceived by the wise men and God had led him out another way, what did he do? He sent out and had all of the male children, 2 years and younger, in Bethlehem and the surrounding districts. What did he have them? He had them killed. Think about it. The first martyrs concerning the birth of our Lord and Savior, they were babies. I go, oh God, this guy, he was crazy. But the wise men, that's our focus. They fell down, they worshiped, and they gave. You know, I don't know that there's any more incredible faith found in the Word of God. They just come from a foreign land, and they walk into the house. They find a king without a palace, and here we are. We have all 66 books of the Bible. All they had was a star. Amen? And I said, well, how could we ever doubt? How could we ever doubt anything that's going on? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me, God says, when you search for me with all of your heart. That's what God wants. God wants you to say, I want all of your heart to search for me, not a part of your heart or just, you know, today and then you forget all about me. No, God says, every day, what in the world can we give to God? The wise men, they came in, they worshiped the Lord and they gave to the Lord. What can we give to the Lord? I mean, for the one who died for us, the one who took our sin, the one who bore our guilt and our shame, the one who defeated death and hell and Satan, the one who ascended to the right hand of God, having purged our sins, the one who intercedes for us right now, the one who one day is going to come for us. What in the world can we give to God? What can we really give to the Lord? People say, well, I give my tithe. Well, that's a wonderful thing, but that belongs to him anyway. All right, we're going to move right along on that one. No, really. I mean, what can we do? Well, number one, don't you think that we can really adore him? Not mouth those words, you know, oh, come, let us adore. Okay, dun, dun, dun. Not mouthing it, but meaning it. You see, did you know, loved one, that the quality of your worship, the quality of my worship, the quality of this church, the way we worship, is a direct reflection of our relationship with God. You see, if we say, well, we come to church to worship on Sunday or maybe Wednesday or Christmas, Easter. No. Worship is not some event. It's a lifestyle. Amen? Boy, I tell you, there's something that happens when we give our God, when we give our Lord our worship. You know, that's what I love about my early morning walks. That, you know, I go out there and that's my prayer time. That's when I pray in the Spirit. That's when I pray over all the issues that I'm facing for that day. I always start out with praising and worshiping the Lord. And then, you know, like I was telling the first service, sometimes I know everyone in my area. And so since it's dark and I know who wakes up early and I know, like, for example, I know who puts their Christmas lights on or Christmas tree. Well, there's this one area that I go to and he's an elderly gentleman, he and his wife, and they've been there forever like me, you know, 30 years or whatnot. And to make a long story short, his Christmas tree lights were not on. Well, that was the first day. So I said, well, I hope he's all right. I said, maybe he's gone out of town. But the drape was open and his tree was there. So, I mean, I just stopped and started praying over his home. Started praying over him and his wife. Said, oh, Lord, please, if they're ill right now, you know, let the kids come over and check on them. You understand what I'm saying? There's a time of worship and praising. And, you know, where you're giving out. You know, there's nothing worse than a sad person, especially if they're a kid. Don't you hate to see sad teenagers? You know, I went to the store the other day and to buy a dozen eggs. And I walked in, you know, you walk in, the door's open for you, you know, at Brahms, you know what I'm talking about. And so you go, and there's a cashier right there, and the girl, the little girl, teenage girl, said, welcome to Brahms. Didn't look at me. Welcome to Brahms. Thank you. I go to the back, get the dozen eggs, come up. She never looks, got a little hat on, you know, look down, you know, get on the conveyor belt, the eggs go by. That dozen eggs, all you want? Yes. You know, that's all I want. Well, all right, welcome to Brahms. So I give her a $20 bill, you know, for the dozen eggs, and so she gives me back my change, and I said, hey! I thought she's going to get robbed or something, you know. And I said, I took the change, you know. I said, Merry Christmas. You know, her face was smiling. I'm going, praise God. And I told Becky later, I said, man, I'm going to go around and just start giving out $20 bills to people. It's just worth it to see them happy. Amen. It's giving and helping and loving. That's really what it is about Christmas. It's about loving people. It's not about getting everything. You know, it's like I told Becky, I went in there in the computer. I said, here's your gift. And I pulled up on eBay a $2,000 gold Rolex watch. I said, look at it, because that's all that's going to happen. And she says, why would I trade in this 40-year-old watch for that? Okay, never mind. Got off track. Worship the Lord. Remember what Jesus, he said in Matthew 15:8, or right in that area. He said, you know, you worship me. You know, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. Isn't that horrible that the Lord would have to say that to any of us? You know, here we are. You know, it's like Jesus could say today, you know, here we are. We're all together. This is our Christmas sermon day. And, you know, we're singing carols about him. You're talking about him and all of it. But the truth is, and he says, but golly, you know what? It's just coming out of your mouth. It's not coming out of your heart. We don't want it to ever, ever be like that. Amen? No. We want to say, Lord, we're here to worship you. He loves us. He was born for us. He was born to die, and we're born to live. So we can give God as that gift. We can give back to him since we're his purchased possession. We can give him our worship, all of our worship. Like that song says, you know, give us a heart of worship. Let us return and so forth. But there's something else that we can give to God. And we should have already done so if we haven't done so already. Paul told us it was so perfect. He said, listen, in Romans 12:1, this is the greatest gift you can give to God right now. The greatest gift you can ever go and give to Jesus is this right now, is Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present yourself. Present. That word is a picture of an Old Testament priest taking a sacrifice and laying it on the altar. He says that you present yourselves as a what? Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. I don't have much going for me but you. You really want me? Yes, son. Yes, daughter. I want all of you. I want all of your faculties. I want your mind. I want your mouth. I want everything. I want to use all of you. I want you. I don't want you to die for me. I want you to live for me. Amen? That's what the Lord said. He said, I want you to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Holy. That means set apart for God. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. That word service means worship. It's the right thing to do. It's the logical thing to do. I mean, after all, he purchased us, amen? He bought us at a price, his own life, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, to say, Lord, you know, when we, on Christmas or however you celebrate your Christmas, I don't know if you have a tree, if you don't have a tree or whatever, you know. Of course, my house is covered with lights right now. And it's so, you guys are tough, man. Man, don't do that to me. It's nearly the end of the year. I'm worn out. A living sacrifice. Say, Lord, here I am. My will is now your will. I'll go wherever you want me to go. You know why so many people are afraid to say, Lord, here am I, just whatever, I'm yours. It's because you're afraid that God's going to send you to someplace, you know, some bizarre nation or something. Well, you know, if he is going to do that, then that's where you're supposed to go and you will be okay. Do you understand? Yes, we don't have to be afraid of the will of God. That's the safest place on earth, is to be in the will of God. Get in here, and then God says, oh, I want all of you. And don't be conformed to this world, be transformed. Remember, by the renewing of your mind. See, God wants to use you. Why would you not want to walk in the supernatural? You never know what God's going to do. If he will, like I said, if he'll back the waters all the way up to the city of Adam for the children of Israel under the old covenant, how much more will he do under the new covenant? Man, I look and I say, oh God, you're so good. The greatest thing we can give to Jesus is say, here I am, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. What if this whole church, if we just said 2016, Lord, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be obedient to two words, just two words. Mark 1:17. What did Jesus say? Follow me. Just follow me. Imagine the whole church just saying, Lord, here's the gift to you. I'm just going to follow you. It's a commandment. I know it's not an option, but Lord, we're going to be doing that. All of 2016, just think what would happen. You know, Paul shouts out in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift, meaning the gift of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ. The friend of sinners. Well, I thank you that, you know what? Jesus is the greatest friend of sinners that they'll ever know. Amen? How we need to remember those things. You know, the fact is that the world's Christmas will let you down. It really will. It'll let you down. It'll leave you hopeless. It'll leave you without joy. And it'll leave you in debt. That's not the Christmas that we have. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Boy, I'll tell you, Jesus is no longer in the manger. He's no longer in the house. He's no longer on the cross or the tomb. He's in heaven, amen? Oh, and we know where to find him. Colossians 3:1, what does it say? It says, seeking those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. We know where he's at. That's why we're to seek those things that are above, not the things that are below. Oh, God, I say, Lord, you're so good to us. We know the meaning of Christmas. We know why Jesus came. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:5, and you know, it's a certainty, we know that he was manifested, meaning God's love made visible, was manifested to take away our sins. We live in a time where the world is trying to, again, they're removing as much of Christ from Christmas as possible. I don't really care because they can never remove Christ from my heart. Never. He can never take, they can never take that away from me. No one can steal that from me. Amen. No one can say, well, now you're born again, and now it's, you know, you're not going to be born again. Did you know that if you're truly born again, you can't make yourself unborn again? You can't do it. There's no way. It's impossible. Why? You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You know, God did not send his son, send his son into the world to condemn this world, did he? But that the world through him might be saved. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is all about. Did you know that if a person is not in Christ, they stand condemned? God doesn't want them to be condemned, but if you're outside of Christ, the wrath of God abides upon you. No. The sweetest, nicest person in the world, if they're outside of Christ, they stand condemned. They stand condemned. They're going to be judged by the Lord. Every person is lost if they're outside of Christ. You know, just like poor Herod, think about it. I mean, I look at him and I go, oh, that's tragic. He hears the good news. To him, that's good news. He goes, wow, the soldiers come back and say, okay, Herod, listen, all the male children 2 years and under in Bethlehem, surrounding areas, they're all dead. You don't have to worry about this so-called king anymore. Your throne is safe. Relax. Don't worry about it. You know, it says in verse 19, it says when Herod was dead. Herod died. Matter of fact, I think he died in about 11 BC or whatever it was, right after this timing with the Lord. And so he was about 70 years of age. Have you ever studied out how Herod died, King Herod? Let me tell you what Josephus said from his book in the Antiquities. He said this. He said, Herod died of ulcerated entrails, maggot-filled organs, constant convulsions, foul breath, that neither physician nor warm baths would lead to any recovery. Do you know how wicked old Herod was? 5 days before he died, in that condition, rotting away, he had his other son, Antipater, he had him murdered. Think about that, the evil. Do you know something? Herod, like so many today, you know what? They missed the miracle of the star. They missed eternal life. Just like the scribes and the Pharisees, oh, I know the word of God. I go to church on Christmas. I go to church on Easter, but I don't know anything about God's word. I never open my Bible. Well, listen, that means you're indifferent to the things of God. That means, I would ask myself, is Jesus really your Lord? Because coming to church doesn't save a person, amen? Did you know that? No, that doesn't save a person. It might get you saved, but it doesn't save a person. Now, the Bible says, you know what? This is condemnation in John 3:19, that the light has come into the world. That's Jesus. He has come. Praise God for that. It says, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, I don't know this morning. I know many are gone. Many are in Mexico. Many have already left for Christmas. But maybe you're here. And you don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never asked him to come into your heart. You've never asked him to be the Lord of your life. You've heard about him. You know about Jesus. You've watched Moses and all the rest of them on TV or whatever. But you don't know him personally. You don't know him personally. And it is now in days like this when Christians say, I'm indifferent, Bill, da-da-da-da-da, I want to get home. No, this is what we're here for in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Boy, the spirit of indifference must be broken off this generation. If not, the darkness, oh, never mind. You don't want to hear it on Christmas. I'll save it for my New Year's message. If you don't know the Lord, you know what? Only the one who was placed in the manger, that little feed trough, can save you. Only the one who is born of a virgin, Jesus, can bring you to God. There's no other way. There's no other way. I tell you, the miracle of the star. God wants to do a miracle in your life if you don't know him. And he'll touch you. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll renew you. He'll restore you. He will change your destiny forever and ever. Father, we thank you this morning for this day, that there's no one like you. And Lord, if there's anyone here, anyone listening live even, Lord, if Jesus is not their Lord, I pray right now Oh God, they would open up their hearts. They would cry out and say, oh Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Save me. Save me right now. If you'll pray that, just that simple prayer, he will save you. And Lord, we praise you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, now church, listen to me as we stand to our feet. You know, if you did cry out to the Lord and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, there'll be people here to pray with you after we close out in song. And, or if you have any needs. But listen to me now. I believe in miracles. I believe every word in the Bible. I believe that we should be an expectant people. Whatever you are facing, some of you are like, Bill, it's narrowed down, man. I know that. I feel the squeeze myself. I believe. I believe that God's going to touch you where he needs to touch you before this year is ever ended. I believe that some of you within the next 11 days, God is going to so change your course, your direction, it's going to blow you completely away. The Bible tells us in the Psalms, it says, he cries out, he says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Maker. May I tell you, for one brief moment in this church, without being religious, without being weird, could we bow the knee to our Savior this morning as I pray? Lord, here we are. We're like the wise men. We're bowing before you. We're kneeling before you. Oh God, help us. Remove the spirit of excuse. Remove the spirit of indifference. We want to be an expectant people. We worship you, Lord. We celebrate your coming in to this dark world for us. I pray for your people, oh God. Touch them. Manifest yourself to them. Here they are, Lord, the sheep of your pasture. They're kneeling before you, the great and living God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we bless your holy name now. In Jesus' name, we pray. And we all say, amen. Let's stand to our feet and thank the Lord this morning. Come, let us adore him. God is good. Let's sing to the Lord.
Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ, Lord, for he alone.
my home to your home, I wish you a Christ-centered Christmas. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Let's thank the Lord one more time as we depart. God bless each and every one.